Hello, everybody. This is Anthony Bionis from Mission Star Podcast, and welcome to another edition of The Aftermath, Episode 2. With me tonight, or today, whatever you may be listening to this I have Greg Dietz, who is now...
Hello.
Who is now part of MSP.
Woo-woo!
So expect a lot of good stuff from him in future days, in months and years. And... Today, we're going to be talking about the review that, Greg, you just put up about the Telltale game, Wolf Among Us.
Yes.
Now, I've seen a lot of good stuff from other people as far as, like, you know, word of mouth and reviews-wise. When you were playing this game, like, did you have any expectations since it was Telltale or... was it kind of going in blindly in what it was?
I'm very much a person that likes trailers and previews of shit. So, I mean, I was expecting something going into it. Mm. I mean, there was a lot of surprises. I was not expecting the super noir feel of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I was expecting a certain level of quality for sure because it is Telltale.
Mm. Yeah, it is definitely... I think ever since Walking Dead, like, Telltale has become this company where they kind of own that space, kind of, that kind of comic book slash point-and-click adventure that we haven't seen in a long time since the classics. As I'm eating this food in my mouth.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah. So when you were writing this review, what were some of the challenges that came that you came across for this game?
Well, you're talking about, like, challenges while writing the review or challenges in the game itself?
Both.
Okay. The challenges in the game were honestly just making sure that whatever decision I made, I stuck with. And I always, because I know it's a point and click, you have to kind of do that. And since I had played The Walking Dead, I knew that it's one of those, like, you know, no point of return kind of situations.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was really the only challenge, is that I always just kind of, like, the same with, like, a game like Mass Effect. If I make a choice, I don't go back on that choice. I just stick with it and I power through. So, the challenge with writing it really was just that I wanted to convey as much information as I could to the reader about the feel, the look, the experience of the game without it getting too bogged down with details. And because really, to me, gaming is an experience. You play it to experience something, whether that's fun, excitement, danger, like whatever you want to experience from a game, that's your thing. And I just wanted to convey my experience with the game while also getting the player to understand how I felt about certain aspects in terms of art, gameplay, you know, like voice acting, like stuff like that. I just wanted that to happen. Plus, Fables, the comic that it takes place of, is kind of a complicated world. There's a lot going into it that the game kind of expects you to already know.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, there's this really cool thing where, like, as you play it, you can go to a menu in the pause menu and read up on something. So, like, immediately you meet a character named Mr. Toad. You can go and read his bio, which will give you some insight as to what fairy tale or folklore he comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to convey that in the first paragraph of the review. I wanted people to understand the world of Fables before they really got into it. Because to me, a review is very much, I'm on the fence of buying this game.
Right.
And I want to read someone's review to see what they said. And if they read my review, they got the information going into the game, and now they're not so lost when they play it. Because I imagine that there are going to be people to buy this game that have never read the comic.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like... If you ask how many people have read The Walking Dead comic before they watch a series, like, you may, the amount of people who haven't read it, or, you know, are a good majority of the people. And like the only experience I had is through the game or through the TV series.
Right.
It's definitely a thing for people nowadays to do. But like, yeah, because like with this game, like I had no knowledge of what the Fables comic books were prior for this game to release, and then when the game's released, I was like, oh shit, this is pretty cool. I might have to go check it out. But
Well, let me ask you this. Did you find that opening paragraph to be helpful in the understanding the world of Fables?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Okay. Because, you know, I think that's important to me, is that I want to... I'll explain it this way. Something that I've learned by podcasting and talking to people over the course of time is too much information is boring.
Yes.
Now, that's not a bad thing. Some people like a lot of information. Some people are very much... ooh, so what about this and what about that? But the point is you need to let them ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
You need to give the basis of everything and then let them ask further questions.
Right, right.
And that's exactly, like, that's how I want to do my writing. I want to give a conveyance of information that leaves them wanting more. And the more would be going and getting the game, or contacting me. You can totally do that too. I mean,
yeah.
It's or leaving a comment, and I'm always on the website looking at comments and stuff, like, because I love talking to the people who read my stuff. I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. When you were playing this game, like, for people who are listening, what is, if you can give like a short synopsis of what exactly is Wolf Among Us?
So the idea of Wolf Among Us is a noir detective story at its core. There is a, without saying who and what and when and all that shit,
mm-hmm.
stuff. Bigby Wolf, who is in the comic, in fairy tales, the Big Bad Wolf. He's actually the protagonist of Fables and this game. There's a murder that happens in Fabletown, and a murder hasn't happened in a very, very, very long time. So now Bigby Wolf is tasked with solving this murder, and in the process of this happening, you, the player, when you're in a section of the game, it becomes very, like, look for the clues. And you can totally bypass clues if you're not paying attention, but... It's very much a murder mystery kind of game.
Do you think that the level of I won't say skill, but like, do you think that the puzzles in the game were hard enough for you to have to look up something up on the internet when you got stuck, or was it like easy enough to be like, oh, okay, so this A goes to
oh
B.
No, It's simple, but not terribly. Like, the puzzles in the game don't represent themselves as puzzles, which I think is really fun. I never looked at anything as a puzzle. Everything in the game was very much, you have to pay attention to everything.
Mm.
As, like, you're playing a detective. You know that you're playing a detective right off the bat.
Mm.
The way the game kind of plays everything out, that's just how it is. So the player should automatically go into the mindset of, I need to pay attention to every little detail. I need to make sure that certain things are here. I actually made a huge mistake playing it because I wasn't thinking clearly.
Hmm.
And on my second playthrough, I did it differently. And that's another great thing about the game. It's so short that you can play it again within like a day.
Oh, wow.
But it's short intentionally because it's, you know, it's an episodic situation.
Right, right. Okay. Speaking of which, how many hours does it take to beat it? Just if you were...
About 3.
Oh, wow. 3 hours? Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. And it's going for how much? It's...
$5.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, each...
Holy...
Each episode will be $5. It'll be 5 total. And or you can just do, like, buy the first episode, and then for $15, which is technically $5 less, you can buy the rest of, like, in a season pass. So as they come out, you'll just get them.
Wow, wow. That's crazy. I didn't realize it was that cheap. That's cool. That's awesome. I might have to pick it up soon. Please don't trade money come in soon. I just hope nobody from the college will listen to this. when you were playing this game and writing a review, as far as how did the characters like interact with each other? Was it something that, you know, it was believable, or was it like just kind of just put in there just for the sake of it?
Every character is put in there for a reason. There was never a time where I felt like it was a contrived character.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I would interact with a particular fable, it made sense. And it always tied back up somehow. It always, like, came back around.
Right, right.
I really enjoyed that. It was very smart of the writers to do that. To not spoil anything, I'll give you the name of two fables that are in the game, Beauty and Beast.
Mm.
When you see them, you have the option of saying certain things to them that'll unlock further dialogue.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm trying to say this spoiler free.
Oh, no, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, it's just, it was really interesting how they, like, it almost at first, when they first show up, it feels like they're just there to kind of cement the whole, you're in the world of fables.
Right.
But later, when certain things start happening, they become an integral part. And it's even like, because when you finish the episode, it'll do this cool, like, next time on Fate or on A Wolf Among Us or The Wolf Among Us.
Nice.
And they're supposed to be in the next episode.
Nice.
So, yeah, I never felt like there was a character that was out of place or, like, all of a sudden just, like, a random fable shows up and he's just like, hey, Bigby, bye. Like, nothing ever felt weird. So,
right.
And I think that stems from the writing of Bill Willingham from the comic.
Right, yes.
He did a great job at making everything fit into place and make sense. Mm. I'll admit, I haven't read past, like, issue 40 of the comic.
Right.
And there's a bunch of side, like, there's a whole thing on Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has this whole issue set on his own.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I haven't read a single one of those. But I think maybe the only downside to this game is that you might want to read the comic a little bit before playing it.
Right.
Because it you're going to be very lost. Going right into it, like head first.
Right.
Going right into it.
Right.
Again, that's why that first paragraph in my review was there.
I see. It could work as a vice versa though. Like, people could play this game and actually get interested in the comic book, and then, like, you know, read that, and then go back to playing the game.
Well, it's a good thing the game takes place before the comic.
Exactly. What was I going to ask?
Oh, geez, I just looked it up. There's 134 issues of Fables.
Damn, you got a long ways to go, buddy.
I don't know if I'll read it again. I honestly, to be completely honest with you, the reason I stopped reading it is it started going into a completely different, like, way of it writing than I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't enjoying it as much. I kind of got a little, like... Like, it felt like it was too much. It was overbearing. So maybe I'll have to go back, and I'm a little bit older. Like, it's been about 5 years since I've read it, so.
Right. Okay.
I might have a different... Because I loved this game, and it was completely signed off by Bill Willingham, and...
Hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I think I got to go back.
Any gripes about the game? Like, anything negative that you didn't like about the game?
Absolutely. No game is perfect. And this game has its flaws. I'll say one of the most obvious flaws to me is, and it's something that I just don't understand, and that's how a game that's installed on a hard drive has loading time.
Hmm.
Systems are designed nowadays to handle this situation where it does double tasking.
Right.
Where while it's playing the item for you, it's loading the next section so that way you don't have to stop playing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fantastic. I mean, if you remember back in the PS1 and PS2 days, the old Xbox, you're playing a game and then all of a sudden you hit a section, it's just like, all right, wait 10 to 15 seconds before you can continue playing.
Right.
And that can take, I mean, that takes time. That's boring. But when a game, like let's say, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5 or Skyrim, when it does this cool thing where each section is like has a bubble to it.
Yeah.
And if you start to get close to that bubble, the game will then load the next section before you get there, so that way when you get there, it's loaded.
Was The Walking Dead like this too, or?
No, that's the fun. That's the weird thing.
Interesting.
I do not remember The Walking Dead being this way.
Because like,
it loaded very quickly. It had no issues. I think this game was a little rushed.
Okay, I was about to say like, because like, isn't like graphically they're like they are the same as far as like style and like how the graphics.
Yeah, except Wolf Among Us is a little darker.
Okay.
In tone, and I say that simply because like, in color, not in tone. Well, in tone as well. No, I think Walking Dead is darker in tone just because it's like humans dying and shit, whereas this one is like fairy tale creatures in a very human-like setting. But anyway,
yeah,
the color palette is a lot darker in The Wolf Among Us. Mm. And that I think that's where a lot of the like noir undertones come from.
Right.
But the loading thing, the gripe that I have with the loading thing, and I'll give you a perfect example. There's a scene where you have to chase a guy,
mm-hmm.
a pretty long distance. And the second you chase after him, I thought my game froze.
Oh.
The load was that long.
Wow.
And there was no indicator on the screen letting me know it was loading. It just went to black screen for roughly 6 to 7 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And in the terms of video games, that's a really long time. And I thought my game froze. I was starting to get up to go like reset the system.
Mm.
And as soon as it started, I was like, oh, and I sat back down. That's not good. That's really not good. Mm. And then as soon as that whole sequence was over, it did it again.
Mm.
And I had to wait for like the aftermath.
Ha. Ha, I see what you did there.
it was not good. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. It wasn't a complete hindrance. It wasn't like the game suffered from it too badly.
Right.
I feel like those load situations should not have been there. Mm. The times that the game should load is like in between scenes, not in between action sequences.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, that was a mark. The other mark I'd say that bothered me is very, like, very occasionally, characters will just look like puppets.
How so?
So, throughout the entire game, there are moments where, like, every moment, just about every single moment where the character's talking, their mouth is moving in conjunction to what words they're saying. So if they make an ooh sound, their mouth turns into an O or whatever. Even the characters who have like long mouth, like Mr. Toad. But there was a few moments with Mr. Toad where he just turned into Kermit for like a second. There was a couple moments with like, I can't really say who they are because it's kind of a fun surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But there's two other characters that have long mouths and all of a sudden they turn into puppets.
Hmm.
And I didn't like that. Like, that, like, it wasn't horrible because I do like puppets, don't get me wrong. But right. When 1 second they're talking regularly and the next, like, it's a graphical error because the game was rushed,
mm-hmm.
I see that shit. Right off the bat, one of the characters you come in contact with is Colin. He's one of the three little pigs. He's the one who built the straw house.
Right.
When he's talking to Bigby, he's a puppet. Mm. And then all of a sudden, just a little bit later, he's not a puppet.
That's got to be jarring. Like, if you're playing a game and, like, this, that you're in this kind of, you know, it's still a comic book setting, but at the same time, it's taking more of a realistic approach. to what's the word I'm looking for, entice you or to be so involved in the in the game and its characters, that going from one aesthetic to a puppet, I can imagine how that's very off-putting at times.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Like, I'm immersed. I am enjoying the hell out of what I'm watching. And then all of a sudden, it's not how it was a second ago. Mm. And, you know, that's, you know, that can be, sorry, that can be considered nitpicky. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the point I get at. All my gripes with the game are very nitpicky.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's not like, there was a game I played a long time ago called Mind Jack. Basically, the biggest gripe with that game is because in that game you can control different bodies. You can go out of your body and into somebody else's and basically make them kill their buddies and then you kill yourself. It's actually a really cool concept. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. If the character that I'm playing as, I go, hey, stay behind this cover while I do this thing, my character shouldn't get out of cover and then get shot and killed. That happened to me more times than I cared to count.
Yeah.
And then the game became a situation where it wasn't even worth leaving my character's body because he was just going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
So the mechanic of your game is broken simply because the AI doesn't stay put. I mean, if they had just made it to the point where, like, if your character starts moving around shooting enemies while you're in your, like, weird astral plane of existence going into another body, and he's invincible, that would be fine. Mm-hmm. I have no issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is your character. He should be invincible.
Right.
While
right.
you're not playing him.
Right.
That's not nitpicky.
Right.
That's like a legit problem with the game.
Yeah, with Wolf Among Us, like, the gripes you're telling me are nitpicky, because overall the game is good.
yeah, the loading thing, not really a big problem because the game still works. It still runs. There's no issues there. It's just, holy crap, that was a long load time for a very short sequence. Another thing I just remembered that, it again, very nitpicky and happened very rarely, is sometimes a thing that you are supposed to click on, you can't because you're just slightly off screen or just slightly out of range.
Okay.
Yeah, so like you got to walk over to it and then you can use it. And it's like, why couldn't I just click on it and then the character walk over there himself? Like,
mm-hmm.
But again, very nitpicky. It's not like, it doesn't hinder the game at all. It's just like, all
right. Right. Now the choices and the options, obviously yet to go through the game. Were there any particular moments that like had to make you think for a good minute before you said something?
Yes and no. The brilliance of the game is that they kind of force you to say to choose things quickly. In real life, when you have to make a choice, in a split second situation, you don't have a whole lot of time to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the feeling they want to give you when you have to make a quick choice in the game.
Mm.
So that, especially when it comes to dialogue, when you're talking to somebody, you can't sit there, pause, think about what you're going to say, refine it, and then say it, because then you look like a fucking lunatic for standing there for 40 seconds thinking about what you want to say.
I mean, saying nothing is an option in the game.
Absolutely. If you just set the controller down during dialogue situations, you don't have to say anything.
Pretty much.
But due to the fact that there is a timer on the bottom of the screen, makes everything flow a lot quicker. It makes you think a lot quicker, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also what's great about it having replayability. You go, ah, shit, I didn't want to say that. That was something that made the character kind of frightened of me, or that made the character very, like, attachy to me, and I didn't want that. Like, you can go back and change it, and I think that's fantastic. I love that about it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, I was going to food in my mouth again.
I hope it's delicious, Anthony.
Oh, it's cornbread. It's great.
Oh, well, then it is.
I was going to ask, now, how, for people who don't know, like, how does the dialogue mechanic work in the game?
Very similar to other games in dialogue heavy situations. So you'll have four options normally, and you just have to press one of the four buttons on the controller. And the great thing about how it's positioned on the screen is that you don't really have to look at the controller. If your thumb is kind of resting on the buttons, you know where the which button does what. It's like as if you were playing some kind of trivia game, and the four answers popped up on the screen, but the way that they had the answers like set up was like Y was on the top and B was on the right and A is on the bottom and then X is on the left. That helps with your brain making the decision in the game and not thinking about what button you have to press.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, yeah. I'd say that it's funny how more dialogue games are coming out, or like have a good emphasis on the dialogue, dating back to like L.A. Noire.
Love that.
Yeah, as like it's interesting to see it being put in more and more, which is cool because it is something that's really awesome in games as of late. Now, this is going to be the last but loaded question. So you explained everything about what you liked and what you disliked. Overall, 9 out of 10. Explain it.
I gave it a 9 out of 10 because it, as much as I love that, it's far from a perfect game. It has its technicalities and flaws, and it takes a lot for me to give a game a 10 out of 10, simply because a 10 out of 10 means that I may have seen a couple flaws in it,
right?
But they're so minor that I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't very many games that I can say are a 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
But this game got my 9 out of 10 simply because, unlike The Walking Dead, which I'll full on admit, lost my interest at certain points, this never did.
Mm.
For the entire 3 hours I was playing it, I lost track of time.
Wow.
And it simply also gets knocked points because I'd say, it because of the technical issues, because of I'd say how short it really is kind of knocked it a little bit down, but not terribly.
Right.
I mean, clearly not terribly. I gave it a 9 out of 10.
yeah.
If I had to break down each section of the game, like, gameplay gets a 9 out of 10, simply because it flows very well, it moves very well, but occasionally, like, I shouldn't have to walk the entire length of the room at the speed of a snail to click on this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just should be able to go over there and click on it. Like some little nitpicky things like that kind of knocked it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Visually got 10 out of 10. I think that it's a beautiful looking game and I love the art style to it. Presentation gets a 10 out of 10. Every aspect of the game is given to you in such a glorious way that it becomes totally immersive. As for sound design gets a 10 out of 10. I want the soundtrack to this game already. And it just has a beautiful, like, very ambient, noirish sound. I keep saying that word, but that's really what it comes down to.
Oh, yeah, sure. This game is, if you were to look up noir in the book, this would be a good example of what noir is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like this whole game reminded me of like a classic movie.
Oh yeah. Like specifically, like it even has like the woman, like, you know, coming up to the detective with the cigarette in hand, and that, you know, very noir esque style, you know, like that kind of cliche that it has.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
The I'm trying to think of what other aspects I can rate it on. The voice acting gets, I'd say, a 9 out of 10 just because there are certain characters that are very stale.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of characters I think are great. I think there are specifically two actors I can name in the entire game that overact, and then there's one actor that completely just, like, he's just reading his lines.
Mm, I see.
So it gets maybe an 8 out of 10 on that.
Right.
Which is still, it's still a good, you know, 8 out of 10 is a great score. It's
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I think because of all of that, like, because of the couple things here and there, you know, it definitely got dropped down to a 9.
Okay. Which is still, but, you know,
that's
an A. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's a passing grade.
Yeah. I don't think anybody else has been complaining. And to be honest, like, your review and many others out there have, like, given this game high praise as it is. So you're not...
That was another thing, was it's surprisingly really well done and well written.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, like, I was looking forward to it, but that's also because I'm a fan of the franchise.
Right.
But I wasn't expecting a ton from it because I felt like maybe Telltale was going to kind of, like, rest on their laurels of The Walking Dead and make a half-assed story that involved a comic book that is not as popular as The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know if you know this, but the show Once Upon a Time on ABC
mm-hmm.
was originally going to be a adaptation of Fables.
I wouldn't doubt that, actually.
it just fell through. So, as popular and successful as Fables is, it doesn't hold a candle to the popularity that The Walking Dead has.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like they were going to definitely rest on those laurels, and to a point they did. But what they did really well was they were like the exact same engine, the exact same art style, but we are going to write a story that makes this compelling in its own light. And because of that, it is completely different than The Walking Dead.
Nice. Awesome. Well, Greg, thank you for joining me for the second episode of The Aftermath. Where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter under or at ChubRockGeek. I say that all the time, under. I don't know why. You can also find my YouTube channel that I have not uploaded anything to in a long time under just, I think it's just ChubRock.
Mm-hmm.
You can search for A Geek Losing It, which is my pseudo weight loss talking about geeky things blog. Or vlog, as it's called in the blogosphere.
Yeah, anyway, something like that.
I'm being weird right now. I'm going to be writing a few more articles for this website in the coming weeks. So look out for that.
Awesome. Also, if you haven't, please go check out the feature that Greg did this past week. Top 10 video game franchises. It is good. You should definitely check it out. As myself, you can follow me on Twitter at Defective Naruto. You can follow this podcast as well as the other good stuff, reviews, previews, and other podcasts on our website at missionstartpodcast.com. In the coming months, we will be very busy uploading a lot of good stuff. And for those who are going to be going to Anime LA, I will be attending, as well as many of the MSP team will also go. Anywho, thank you, Greg, again for joining me for tonight on this lovely evening of a podcast.
Yeah, of course, Anthony. It's always a pleasure.
And with that, we will see you all next time.